Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, good morning, Trinity.
Good morning.
And a happy Consecration Sunday to you. My name is the Reverend Hayden Paul, and I serve as the curate of Jubilee Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. And on behalf of Father Lizzie, I bring you greetings from the other part of the diocese. It is truly an honor to be with you this morning, and when Reverend Hannah called me, I jumped at the thought because I know all of the great ministry that is happening here in this place. I know that I am not your priest or even in the regular rotation of cast of characters that you see, but I'm here this morning because I believe deeply in the work that you are doing and the ways that you are showing the love of God to your neighbor. You have incredible clergy here. I mean, honestly, two of the best in the diocese. I mean, truly. And I have seen what happens when faithful people like yourselves commit themselves wholly to the work that is being done. I have personally seen how communities are transformed not just by money raised, but by courage that is shared, hope that is restored, and visions that are rekindled. So may my words this morning help you discern what God is calling you to pledge this morning. And I want to start this morning by asking you a quick question. Did you catch the last line of today's gospel reading? There's a very quick line tucked at the end of today's gospel that could easily be overlooked, but it holds the key to the whole gospel passage. Jesus says, "Now he is a God, not of the dead, but of the living. For to him, all of them are alive." It's a passing but beautiful phrase, and dare I say, it is a bold one. Because if Jesus is telling us that God's relationship to us doesn't end when we die, God's love isn't limited then by our circumstances, nor is it confined to our past. To God, all of us are alive. The tired, the hurting, the doubtful, those who we have loved and lost, but most importantly, God's church is alive. Jesus isn't just telling us about the afterlife. He's giving us a bold declaration about how we live now. He's reminding us that resurrection hope shapes everything we do. Today, yesterday, and tomorrow, even in this place right now. The Sadducees in today's gospel come with a trick question for Jesus. They don't believe in this resurrection, so they pose this really absurd and hypothetical about marriage and inheritance. To them, life is about laws, logistics, and loopholes. But Jesus doesn't get stuck trying to solve their legal puzzle. Instead, he shifts the frame entirely and offers them an understanding that resurrection is about maintaining old systems. He tells them that this whole thing is about God doing a new thing. This is not about restoring the past, but rather a new creation of how the kingdom of God is breaking in right here, right now. A new creation where relationships aren't transactional, where love isn't limited, and where death doesn't get the last word. That, my friends, is what we cling to. That is the promise that we proclaim, that God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And not just today or someday in the future, but right here, right now. That God is present and active among us in the laughter around our tables, in our hands folded in prayer, in the food pantry lines, the healing prayers, and the children giggling in the hallway on their way to Sunday school. This is not some dead religion we're practicing. This is not just an institution that we maintain. No, this is a living faith, and it's a faith that dares to believe that God is still at work, that God is still moving, and that God is still raising things that we thought were dead to life. And that, beloved, is why stewardship matters. Not because the church is in crisis, but because the mission of the church is too important for us not to be all in. So let's just name it. Let's name the tension in the room. A lot of people hear the word stewardship and you immediately think of money. You likely think of covering the church budgets, you think of pledge cards, Excel spreadsheets, and ultimately the acts. I'm sure you often think of stewardship as something that's about money. But I want to argue for you this morning that at its heart, stewardship is about trust. It's about practicing what we say we believe, that God provides, that we belong to each other, and that we are called to live generously. Not out of guilt or obligation, but out of a spirit of gratitude. Because stewardship isn't just a line item or an annual appeal for money. Yes, it is partly those things. But stewardship is also a spiritual practice. It is the way that we live out our trust in that abundance of God. It's the way we remember who and whose we are, and it's the way we invite others to join us in shaping that future that is so full of hope. Stewardship isn't just about fundraising. It is faith formation and faith in action. It's how we practice courage in this fearful world. It's how we embody gratitude in this anxious time. It's how we teach through our words and examples that everything we have is a gift from God and that our lives are meant to be given away in love. Our culture so often reminds us and shapes us into believing that we don't have enough, that we live in a culture of scarcity, that there's never enough. There's never enough time, energy, people, or resources. And our worries about aging, building, shrinking attendance, and rising cost is the greatest of these. And to be honest, that fear can take root in our hearts. It can keep us and hold us back, hold back our giving, our hope, and even our imagination of what could be. But here's the thing. The gospel that you and I profess doesn't start with scarcity. The gospel of Jesus Christ begins with abundance. The loaves and the fishes don't run out. The wedding wine doesn't dry up in Canaan. The oil in the widow's jar keeps flowing. And my friends, the tomb is empty. Because God's grace is sufficient. So what if we let that shape our giving this year? What if you weren't pledging just to cover our budget? What if you filled out that pledge card and said, "We are a people of abundance and my gift is part of God's unfolding promise to me, to the church, and to Trinity." Stewardship and Consecration Sunday isn't a side project we participate in every year. It is a central act to our life of faith. Jesus talked more about money than almost anything else, not because he wanted to guilt people, but because he knew how much our hearts are wrapped up in what we treasure. I mean, do we remember last week's gospel reading? He issued a whole bunch of woes to those who hoard their wealth. When we as clergy and lay leaders ask you to give, we're not asking you just to chip in. We are inviting you to practice trust, to live generously, and to participate in something that will outlive all of us. What I'm saying, friends, is this: that this church isn't just a place you go or come to on a Sunday, but rather the church is a community that is built brick by brick, stone by stone, heart by heart. And that's what we're doing today, isn't it? By filling out this pledge card, you are cultivating a culture of generosity, a culture of faithfulness, and a culture where people don't just give money, but they give of themselves to one another, to the call of Christ, and to the mission of Christ's church. This year, I don't want to just ask you for money. I also want to ask you for your commitment. I'm going to ask you to give boldly, not because this church is in crisis, but rather remind you that the mission of Christ is too important not to. Remember that it is not too late, my friends, as you sit there and contemplate what your pledge will be, that you can always add an extra zero to that pledge card before the decimal. I want to remind you, though, that we are not here to maintain an institution. We are all here to proclaim the good news of Christ. And most importantly, we are here to proclaim that that good news of Christ can and does change lives. And in order to change those lives, that takes resources. It takes courage. It takes all of us being all in with all of our heart, mind, and souls. So I'm asking you to go ahead and make that stretch. Not apologetically, not timidly, but with clarity, faith, and conviction. Please give generously and abundantly. Not out of guilt, not out of fear, but because God is doing something. God is in this place, and you all get to be a part of it. And honestly, I'm jealous, because God is working in my community in Austin, but I know that God is working here because of the fruits of your labor. If we truly are a resurrection church, then that means living like the tomb is already empty. Not just on Easter, but every single day of our lives. It means that trusting God is not, that God is not finished with us, even when things feel fragile and uncertain. A resurrection church refuses to be defined by fear and scarcity. But we live in abundance, believing that there is enough love, enough grace, and enough spirit to meet this moment. To be alive in Christ is to be open to transformation, to risk being the joyous people that we are, and to show up with courage and hope. It means that we give, serve, worship, and dream as though God is still in the business of raising things to life. Because I've seen it. God is in that business. A resurrection church isn't simply trying to survive. It's learning how to be surprised by the Spirit again and again and again. So this morning, I close by saying this to this beautiful community. Keep going. Be bold. Lead with joy. Tell the story of abundance and sustenance that has provided for the mission and ministry of this church for over 130 years. Because this work, your work, is not just about pledge cards and pie charts. No, your work is about the people of God extending the gifts of God. It's about showing love. It's about extending mercy that moves. It's about a justice that doesn't wait. It's about pouring out what we have so that grace keeps rippling far beyond these walls. It's about planting seeds you may never see bloom, but they will grow all the same. It's about planting trees under whose shade you may never rest. May the stewardship demonstrated today be shaped not by fear, but by hope. Not by pressure because I'm some fly-by-night guest preacher, but by purpose. Not by scarcity, but the wild, generous, overflowing grace of God. Beloved, we are not the church of the past. We are not a church of fear. We are the church of the living God. And that God walks with us. That God calls us by name. And that God is a God who, when we think all is lost, he rolls away the stone and he gets out of the tomb. So let your generosity be shaped not by anxiety, but by abundance. Let your commitments be marked not by guilt, but by gratitude. And let your life, every single part of it, testify to this truth, that God is not a God of the dead, but of the living. For to him, all of them are alive. So thank you for your generosity in what you do here. Because what you do in this place matters more than you could ever imagine. Amen.